Good morning. Welcome to worship, St. Mark's, another beautiful Sunday to praise our God, of course. Last week we talked about and saw the work of repentance and what God does in our hearts through that, and then who we are because of that, and the difficulties that we have to face. And that's what we're really going to really zoom in on today. Today we're going to talk about the crosses that we bear as Christians. But the funny thing is, today we're actually going to praise God for those crosses, and that's because of the cross of Christ. So you'll see that reflected throughout the worship today. We'll praise God for that. We'll begin by praising Him with that, with hymn 474. Please note we're going to stand for the final verse. God bless your worship. O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall declare your praise.
Hasten to save me, O God.
O Lord, come quickly to help me.
Give glory to God, our light and our life.
Thank you.
may be seated. As we talk about cross-bearing and the difficulties we have to face as believers in God in this world, there's a prime example that we see in our first lesson from Genesis chapter 39. Notice what Joseph had to go through, but also notice who was with him. From Genesis 39. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of it of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story: "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. The word of the Lord. We respond with a hymn that reflects the peace we have even throughout the difficulties we face as Christians. Number 760, printed for you there in the bulletin. The second lesson for this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 11. Here we are reminded of all of the riches and worldly pleasures that Moses could have had, but said no, because he knew his reward was great. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects what you and I are able to say, thanks to the Holy Spirit, in the midst of our troubles. Alleluia. Because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Alleluia. Now please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. As we were singing that last hymn, I looked up, and directly across from me, I saw the words eternal life. That's exactly what you and I get to look forward to. Yes, we have crosses daily, but we have something that is promised, as Jesus says in Luke 9. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and if there are any children in the congregation who want to come forward for a children's message, meet me up here at the front steps. All right, what I'm actually going to ask you to do is, could I have two of you come over here? All right. Sit right there. Good. Can I get a volunteer? Come on. All right. What I want you to do is, I want you to stand right here and I want you to face this way. Okay? Snag one of my wife's scarves. I'm going to blindfold you, all right? Are you ready? Is that covering up your eyes? Can you see anything? Sorry if I get your hair. All right, how's that? Is it staying on there? Can you see anything? Okay. Now what I want you to do is, I'm going to tell you to do something. I want you to do it, all right? And what I want you to, as we move forward, I want you to move straight forward. Maybe even move just a step to right here. One more. There you go. All right. Sorry, straighten you out a little bit. There you go. All right, I want you to take two steps forward. Now I want you to jump up and down three times. Okay, now I want you to take five steps forward. One, two, three, four, five. What I want you to do is to slowly spin in a circle. Okay, stop. Now I want you to take two steps forward. And I want you to do 10 jumping jacks. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wow, good job. Well done. All right, now I want you to take four steps forward. And I want you to jump up and down five times. All right, scarf came off. That's okay. That's good timing. You can take it off. There you go. All right, now you couldn't see, could you? You had no idea what was going on. Do you know what I was doing? Every time you did one of your little trials that I made you go through next to somebody, what did I hand out? Hard sugar-free candy. You recognize it says sugar-free. You're welcome, parents. They're disappointed. They weren't supposed to see that. But I handed out candy, right? How cool is that? He even got two. Isn't that crazy? He even got two. And guess what? When he did this last trial, I saved three for you. Because that wasn't an easy one. You can go ahead and sit down. You know, the same... No, you got to stay there. What? That's not the point I'm trying to make. Point I'm trying to make is that you couldn't see it, but you're going through all these trials, and what was it? Every time you went through a trial, it was actually a blessing for somebody around you. You know, you and I, we have crosses to bear, Jesus says. That means we'll go through a lot of difficulties as Christians. Sometimes people will call you names. Sometimes you'll have to stand up to temptation. Sometimes things will be really hard. You'll jump one time, but then the next time you have to jump 10 times and do 10 jumping jacks. But when you do that, when you go through these hard trials, they're more and more a blessing for you and for those around you. And do you know how? And do you know why? You know why I had you start on this end? Because this is the end where this cross is right here next to the pulpit. Jesus paid for your sins. He took that cross so you don't have to. And now when we bear our crosses, guess where we're headed? God is guiding us to over here. You see that candle? Do you know what that's called? That's called the Paschal candle. That's lit during the season of Easter. What happened on Easter? Jesus rose to life. Guess what that means for you and me someday? We'll go to heaven. That's right. And we'll rise to life too and have eternal life. So as we are on this path, we know that that's where we're headed. So we know that all of these little trials that we face, God is using as a blessing for those around us and for ourselves. But those can be really difficult. So let's say a prayer that we can remember something in particular. Let's say a prayer. Oh Lord God, we know that these trials that we have to face as Christians are difficult. But Lord, because we know who you are, we know who Jesus is, and he bore the cross that we couldn't bear. Always keep that on our minds, Lord, as we go through difficulties. Always remind us of the peace that we have thanks to him. Lord, ultimately, make us a blessing through all the difficulties we face. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can head back to your seats. Thank you for your help, and we'll continue with the hymn of the day, hymn 768 in the Blue Songbooks.
Thank you.
God's grace to you, brothers and sisters, thanks to Jesus and the cross he bore. Amen. The sermon text for today is from the first lesson from Genesis chapter 39, if you'd like to follow along. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare the cross. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees? No? Yes? Yeah? The point is that you get caught up in the details to the point where you can't see the big picture. Martin Luther had a quote about a similar thing for a Christian's life and all the things that we have to go through in this life. But he used the picture of a building being built. He said, "We do not know how our Lord God is preparing his structure. We see only the scaffolding of stakes and ropes. But in the future life, we shall see the structure and building of God, and, filled with wonder, we shall rejoice at having endured the trials." The thing is, the trials aren't easy. We go through a lot of difficulties as Christians. We have a lot of crosses that we bear because of Christ. So how can we face those? By remembering the forest. That's what God wants to remind us of here in this ordeal with Joseph. Lord wants us to remember that he has purposes in our crosses. Poor Joseph. Think of all of the trials that he had to go through. Before this account, he had been sold into slavery by his own brothers. It's estimated that he's now been a slave here for about 10 years. And he had worked his way up to being second in command with his master, Potiphar, put everything in charge of everything in his house. But that's when the crosses really started coming. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." Quite the temptation, being seduced by his master's wife. Here Joseph has that choice. He has a choice where he can indulge in worldly pleasures, especially in his difficult life as a slave, or he can bear his cross, stand up to that temptation, and say no. What did Joseph do? He refused her. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" So Joseph refuses, and he gives three good reasons to remain faithful to God. It would betray trust. It would be a sin against his neighbor, Potiphar. But ultimately, it would be a sin against God. See, he knew what God said about the sin of adultery. He knew that because his parents had taught him when he was younger. And so, of course, Joseph responds, "How could he do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Joseph did it. He bore his cross. He faced that temptation and said no. So that meant then that God wouldn't give him any more crosses, right? Good reward for saying no? No, this trial was just getting going. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Day after day, she came to him. And day after day, Joseph had to face this temptation. Does saying no to temptation mean that it's done and over with? No. Because temptation is not a part-time experience for the believer. And Joseph learned that. And that brought yet another cross. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Saying no to temptation, even over and over again, doesn't mean that it'll go away forever. It actually means that the devil's going to ramp it up and heighten that temptation. She noticed that no one was in the house. It was the prime opportunity. And the devil took that opportunity, and she grabbed his cloak. He had to wriggle out of it and run away. And that itself brought with it another cross. She lied to her husband, saying, "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." So now he has to face the cross of slander. And in being embarrassed, he's called a Hebrew and a slave. And these false accusations bring with it another cross, legal implications. When his master heard the story, his wife told him he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. So let's recap. Joseph stood up to temptation, had to face that, had to face temptation not just once, but day after day. Not just day after day, but heightened temptation. He had to face slander and embarrassment and being called names. He had to face false accusations, had to face legal implications, and ultimately, his master had to throw him in prison. All because he remained faithful to God. How's that fair? Why would God allow that to happen? Why wouldn't he end these trials? Because these trials were things Joseph was going through because he was a believer. Why does God do the same thing with you and me? We have trials that we have to face too. We have crosses to bear. We have the cross of temptation. For you, is it adultery in its various forms? Or is it one of the other temptations the world throws at you? Money and possessions chasing? Indulging in laziness? Being self-serving? Not putting God first? Not trusting in His Word? A temptation to complain? We could go on all day. The world has all these sinful attitudes that it exalts and praises, and it throws them at us, and we're getting assaulted by them. And we feel like it's a burden because we have to say no. We know what God says. It's a cross we have to bear. And is it just one time? No, it's all the time. Day after day, as Jesus says, daily. We might try to use our wisdom and eliminate some of those temptations. Get away from them as far as possible. But still, we're in this world. We're going to face sin and temptation. And when we say no and no and no again and again, the devil's going to ramp it up. He's going to heighten it. He knows that time. He chose with Joseph that time when there was nobody in the house. Prime opportunity. He knows our sinful natures too, and he uses that prime opportunity to get to us. Maybe if you say no over and over again, it'll work out, but guess what? You say no to the world and to worldly people again and again, what's going to happen? You're going to have to face the wrath of the world. Every single day we have to face embarrassment and name-calling and slander. We're called unloving, uneducated, sheltered, brainwashed, bigots. It's even getting to the point in this country where we might have to face legal implications for bearing our cross and staying true to His Word. And some people do. The worst part is that we don't always remain faithful. Sometimes those temptations do get the best of us. The devil knows how to push our buttons. He knows how to play our sinful natures like a fiddle. And God has the nerve to tell us that that deserves His wrath. It isn't easy having to face our possible sin and our actual sin day after day. What's wrong with God? How could He do that? How frustrated do you think Joseph had to be? He had been faithful to God, and yet there he was, falsely accused and languishing in prison. If only Joseph could see the forest for the trees, then he'd see that the Lord has purposes in our crosses. Let's rewind. Let's go back through what Joseph went through, and let's take a look at the forest. Joseph had 10 years in which he could build up resentment to God for what happened to him. And there we have this temptation from Potiphar's wife, the first big choice we're told about, where Joseph could choose. All right, I'm going to go my own way and forget this God, or I'm going to honor him, stay faithful and true. Joseph bore his cross that put him on that path. Then day after day, facing that temptation helped solidify Joseph on this path of honoring God. Even when it was heightened, Joseph day after day had the strength then to say no and run away. Even when he had to face that slander of being called a Hebrew and a slave, later on Joseph would marvel at that fact because it would be evidence of God's power and his plan. When Joseph was second in command in all of Egypt. There's even purposes in Joseph's crosses in him being sent to prison. Think about it. If you were a slave back in that day and you made advances at your master's wife, what do you think would happen to you? Death penalty? So here we have evidence that Potiphar not only had favor for Joseph, thanks to the Lord, but also that he didn't really trust his wife. But he had to save face with his unfaithful wife, so he had to send Joseph to prison. And what prison did he get sent to? The place where the king's prisoners were confined. He didn't have to rot in some nasty dungeon. He was sent to where the political prisoners were held. And while he was there, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden, probably because Potiphar was like, hey, that Joseph guy's got some skills. You put him to use. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those he held in prison, was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Sound familiar? Just as with Potiphar, the Lord was with Joseph, with the warden. It was almost as if the Lord was preparing Joseph for some big management position or something. And to learn all of Egyptian culture. And to learn the ins and outs of the politics in Egypt too. Or something. Notice also who Joseph met in that prison later on, who would give him the chance to impress Pharaoh and be called second in command eventually. A couple of the king's prisoners, his baker and his cupbearer. Joseph couldn't see the forest. Had to be frustrating for him. But the Lord was with him every step of the way, all the way until he was second in command and saving his own Hebrew people so that they could bring forth the coming Savior someday. You and I have 4,000 years of history to help see the purposes in Joseph's crosses. But Joseph couldn't see them. It wasn't easy. It isn't easy for you and I either. But does that mean that there are no purposes in our crosses? No, they're there. How do you know? Because of the cross that we couldn't bear. There was one cross that you and I had no chance to bear. And did God leave us, forsake us, to simply bear that cross ourselves? No, he sent Jesus. And Jesus bore the cross of our sin. All of the wrath of God upon every time we failed in temptation, paid for, done, completed. As Jesus himself said, it is finished. Because he bore that cross, that great purpose, you and I now have a forest to look at someday. We have this great building of God that we can admire. Jesus has secured that for you and me, eternal life. So knowing that, are we able to see the fact that God has purposes in our little crosses that we do bear? Yes. Can we bear them? Yes. It's the same ultimate purpose. All of our crosses are meant to get us to that eternal life. We might not be able to see it. We might be blindfolded to all of the blessings that are being thrown out by the Lord, but he's there. He's doing it. That temptation that you're facing, and you say no to, that puts you on a good path. Path to eternal life. Facing it day after day, guess what? That solidifies you on that path. Even to the point where it strengthens you to say no to the heightened temptation. Somebody might even see you and get strength from you and the temptation that you faced and won. Somebody might not see you. Somebody might actually slander you because of what you did. They might embarrass you. They might call you names, but still, it's good for yourself. And you remaining faithful to the Lord also is a good example for your children and the next generation. You know, we face a lot of difficult things in our lives now as Christians in this country, but do you think it's going to get worse? Oh, yeah. We bearing our crosses now means that it'll be easier for them to bear their crosses someday. It isn't easy. It isn't easy because the crosses aren't easy. It isn't easy because we can't see the forest right now, but we know it's there. Joseph couldn't see it, but the Lord is with him. The Lord is with us too. So can we bear those crosses? Yes. All thanks to Jesus bearing ours. It helps us see that the Lord has purposes in our crosses. Amen. Please stand. May the Lord give you crosses so that you can see his love. Amen. Now join together in a song, "You Are God, We Praise You."
Thank you.
You may be seated for the offering. Ask that all of the VBS volunteers for this coming week please come forward and line up and stand up right here at the front. Dear friends in Christ, you have been called as teachers and volunteers in the Vacation Bible School of this congregation. You are doing the work the Lord has committed to His church, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all nations, and to feed the lambs of the Lord Jesus. You do this work on behalf of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church and in association with the parents who entrust their children to your instruction and care. Your work is both a great privilege and a serious responsibility. To equip yourselves for this blessed work, it is necessary that you faithfully study God's Word, devote yourselves to prayer for those entrusted to your care, and carefully prepare for the lessons you will teach. It is also of great importance in the teaching of the Savior's little ones that you set an example by leading Christian lives. I now ask you in the presence of God to accept this responsibility and do your work faithfully, according to the ability God has given you. If so, answer yes, and I ask God to help me.
Yes, and I ask God to help me.
I now install you as teachers and officers of this Vacation Bible School of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God grant you this Holy Spirit and give you wisdom and strength to carry out your duties to His glory and for the good of His children. Members of St. Mark's, I urge you to regard these teachers and officers and volunteers as servants of Jesus Christ, teachers of the gospel, and God's gifts to his church. Support them in their work, pray for them, and bring your children to Vacation Bible School so that you and your families may receive the eternal blessings the Lord promises to those who hear and learn from his word. Let us pray. Gracious Savior, you bless every effort to bring up children in the Christian faith. We ask you to give wisdom, kindness, and perseverance to teachers who feed your lambs. Teach them your truth so that they may teach others. Cause the children entrusted to their care to be eager to learn about their Savior. May your goodness go out into all the earth so that people in this community and everywhere may hear it and believe it. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the peace of the Lord. May the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. You may return to your seats. We continue with the prayer of the church. Please note that the hymn, Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken, is going to be incorporated into the prayer, and there will be a short musical introduction before the first verse. We pray. Almighty Lord Jesus, just as the world once considered you worthy of abuse and violence, so many who follow you are treated the same today. Be with those who are actively persecuted for their faith. Show them that in you they have a companion who has experienced unjust pain and suffering. They have a companion who has triumphed over every evil and now shares that victory with them, even in times of trial and weakness. Provide for them the patient endurance that will lead them through every trial to a life of eternal glory with you. Lord, in your mercy. God, Lord of all, your Son commanded us to love all, even our enemies, and to pray for them. Deliver us from prejudice, hatred, and cruelty. Help us endure unjust treatment without seeking revenge. Fill our hearts with the forgiving love that we learn only from Christ. And may that love so move the hearts of our enemies that one day they and we may stand before you, reconciled to you and to one another. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Give us, O Lord, steadfast hearts, which no unworthy affection may drag downward. Give us unconquered hearts, which no tribulation can wear out. Give us upright hearts, which no unworthy purpose may tempt aside.
Bestow on us also, O Lord, our God, understanding to know you, diligence to seek you, wisdom to find you, and a faithfulness that may finally embrace you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. Place your eyes on us, Lord. Fear the Lord, you his people, for those who fear him lack nothing. We long for that promise to be ours, so that we might lack nothing. Impress these passages on our hearts. The fear of missing out on this world's pleasures and promises or this world's approval, the fear of losing this world's good things, none of this should matter to us. None of those things can save or preserve us. Remind us in every moment that it is you alone who are to be feared. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, who joyfully bore the cross so that we might not have to bear the eternal pain of God's wrath, strengthen us as we bear our crosses in this world. Too often we selfishly desire that you would simply take our crosses away. Instead, lead us to pray for stronger backs to carry the crosses we do have. Forgive us for the times we have held a grudge against you for allowing this or that cross into our lives. Help us see our crosses as evidence of your deep love for us. Teach us to always find our peace in you, you who promise to give rest to the weary. Merciful God, according to your will and at your time, take our crosses from us and bring us to yourself in heaven. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please stand. In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me. And hear my prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. O Lord our God, govern the nations on earth and direct the affairs of this world so that your church may worship you in peace and joy. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord,
who lives and reigns with you and the Father,
one God,
now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 765. Good morning again. Pleasure worshiping with you yet again this morning. Big welcome to all of our visitors this morning. If you have any questions about anything that you saw in the worship or anything in the, any of the lessons, feel free to ask one of us or even the pastors. If you get a chance, check out the Welcome Center. You'll have a gift over there waiting for you too. Anything over there is yours to have, so welcome. Sunday school and Bible classes will continue. We'll have the Gospel of Luke here in the sanctuary. The Bible information class, we are going to switch because it's set up for VBS in the chapel today, so we're going to have that in the Luther room right across the way today. If you see, if anybody is attending that and you see somebody else who's not here, if you could let them know we're going to be in the Luther room today for the Bible information class, that'd be great. We have a VBS meeting coming up after the second service, so if you are a VBS volunteer, please come back after the second service to kind of get the rundown and prepare for the week. VBS, speaking of that, begins tomorrow, an awesome, big, fun week where we get to share the love of Jesus. The theme this year is the miraculous mission, and we get to look at stars and planets and kind of that theme in the sky and see how it all fits into God's plan of salvation. VBS Sunday, then, that means is next week. The second service is we're going to have a lot of visitors, so we've decided not to have communion for that service. So if you'd like to partake of communion next week, it's a communion Sunday. We'll have that in the first service for you at 8 a.m. No communion at the 10:45 service next week. As a board of outreach, we've been talking recently about things that we can do, and we just kind of thought, where we have our meetings is here on campus, not really out and about. So we're going to make a change as a Board of Outreach. What we're going to do is we're going to have meetings every other month, and we're going to have it at a location outside of campus. And then all the other months, what we're going to have is some sort of outreach activity. We're going to, as a Board of Outreach, go canvas, or we're going to have a Bible study, or we're going to volunteer somewhere and try to get out in the community a little bit. If you'd like to join us for those opportunities, the reason I'm telling you is that you can join us. For example, coming up Tuesday, July 23rd, is going to be our next outreach meeting. It's at 6 p.m. We're going to meet at Starbucks, kind of just past Arcadia on Greenback, kind of across from that Burger King. Not that I know right where that is, but there's that Starbucks right there. We're going to meet right there and kind of have a little Bible study about outreach. Probably a little, take care of a little bit of business in the first 15 minutes, but then have a Bible study. Join us if you'd like. I'll try to update the church calendar with the location of where we'll be if you'd like to join us for these things. School registration is coming up. Can you believe it already? August 1st is when school registration is. Now, in the weekly news, it has the times, but that reflected an error on the school calendar. It's actually going to be August 1st. You're going to have two opportunities. There's three-hour windows, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., then 3 hours off, and then another 3 hours from 4 to 7 p.m. for school registration. So please keep that in mind. Everything else that you can see is coming up is in the weekly news or any other announcements. May God continue to bless you this week with crosses and as you bear those. Please stick around to greet one another.